podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to A Choir Kid's Dream, where I, DJ Melody, will teach you how to songwrite, record, and market your music. So it's DJ Melody, back as promised, and today we are going to talk about mic technique and also recording with people and performing in person, kind of getting started on that songwriting episode, lyrics, piano chords, multi-track, a little bit of how to find the proper producer and right people to collaborate with, how to kind of get inspired to make the right kind of music and make the type of sound that you're looking for. So I'm gonna start off with recording. So recording is a lot different with whoever you're doing it with, yourself or a band. It's way different than performing in person, because in person, obviously, there's a lot of cues. People may be more likely to mess up. Maybe you're saying different things in between sets. And from my experience, you have to sing way closer to the mic, especially with a lot of different instruments going on. And it's really important to kind of see how you sound, maybe even have someone in the back give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down, kind of thumbs up to sing louder, thumbs down, sing softer, or like an okay sign. It takes a lot of practice and listening to yourself. Recording actually helps you develop all those kinds of performing skills, because you can figure out what type of mic you need and how to kind of get the sound you need. And that goes the same for your instruments, figuring out the kind of amp that's the best. I know Fender amps are pretty good for basses. There are some really expensive amps at the guitar store, the Guitar Center. Usually the ones $400 plus are the best. There's different amps depending on if you're singing, so a mic amp or a guitar amp, so make sure that you're using the right kind of amp for your equipment. I personally recently bought one that is good for singing, piano, and it's okay for bass, and that's good for me because that's all what I do. So make sure you really look into your equipment for that when you're going to be performing. I personally like a little bit of echo in my voice, not much. I don't like it when people put too much. I personally don't like any auto-tune. Some people do like a little bit of pitch correction, though. Everybody has their own style and what they want, and you can also put this into your show. So even some people sing live with pitch correction. You can kind of in the studio figure out what you need. Also the type of mic. I know some people like things that are less than SM58s. Usually those are best for instruments or drums. I know that I recently upgraded to a SM58, which is the standard of microphones, just because I wasn't loud enough in shows, but now I am. There's also a special kind of SM58 with a blue circle around it. That is the one that Billie Eilish uses because she has more of a breathy voice. She wants to be heard even more. I'm still deciding if I should use that or not, because people do have to turn me up quite a lot, even though I do think I sing pretty loud, but my drummer's pretty loud in my band, so. He's really cool. You'll meet him and when we talk more about how he writes his music and how he feels about the band. So next up, I want to talk about when you're recording an original song. So I know we just talked a little bit about tips for performing, but I'm going to put that aside for now. I'm going to go into more of that when we have our guest speaker. So I want to talk about lyrics. I know a lot of people may want to either do instruments first or lyrics first. Everybody's really different. I heard it's more common to do lyrics first. I personally like lyrics first because you can make yourself kind of a metronome, kind of the meter of the song, which I honestly think songwriting is a lot like poetry writing, right? Make sure you kind of have the consistent meter in your verses and in your choruses. Even if your chorus might change a word or two every other time you sing it, still, you know. And another thing is have like a really cool bridge, and even like I like changing the beat in the bridge. It's a lot of fun. And be creative, right? Like make your lyrics from the heart. And when you're starting out, you really just want to get their pen on the paper. Sometimes you have all these things you want to say, but then you try to get it in a certain meter and it's really hard. Maybe even start off not. And the truth is, this is well common knowledge, every 20 to 30, even more songs you write, you might only get one good one. So don't be discouraged if you find yourself laughing at your lyrics and you don't exactly love them. I personally probably wrote about 30 songs a couple years ago, and I hate all of them. But I'm getting better at writing. My uncle, who has been doing it for a while, really helped me lock in on that. I actually am just going to give you an example of a song that we wrote together. So I first off started writing something as just how I felt, and it was really short. Again, maybe you just want to start off writing short songs. You can build on them later. But I basically had G and C on the guitar, just standard tuning, just the regular open chords. It was like, I love you, baby, but you make me crazy. I love you, baby, but you make me crazy. Don't make me crazy. And I was like, oh, I love this. And maybe I can build onto it, like, da 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 da. But I kind of, it was a little too goofy. And then my uncle just came up and he added a bunch of things to the guitar, brought this back to some of my friends in my band who are in their mid-20s and people who have been at this for about 5 or more years. They could not play what he wrote. But anyways, we're talking about the lyrics. So he said, you know what, let's make this more upbeat and happy. And I agree with that. I think every song needs to have some silver lining, whether it's sad, and if it's happy, it needs to have something deep in it. I think everything lyrically needs to kind of have a yin and yang, because that's what a lot of people listen to music for, is to kind of regulate their emotions. And so he said, well, I like the I'm in love with you, baby, but you're driving me crazy. And then he added every single night when you're holding me tight. And then I put, oh yeah, but he's not enough. And so he said, okay, let's find a way to rhyme it, since that's what we're doing. And you don't always have to rhyme, and you can also do different rhyming patterns, right? Every other line, whatever. I would suggest all the way also, by the way, maybe writing a little bit of poetry before you get into songwriting, because that definitely does transfer over. Even maybe writing a couple short stories, really just find a way to get your brain juices running in all the different ways that you might need for songwriting, because you really need to be creative sometimes. Anyways, he goes, I think the stars above, but it's not enough. And then I was thinking, I want to ask something about who I am, right? So he goes, oh, so we go, okay, let's do philosophy. So as I sit by the window, Picasso, Plato, and a cup in my hand, and then you're waiting for me and you're just down the road. Because I was trying to write a song, right, about like a guy who kind of like needs me. I might need him too, but we're different. So then this is the chorus that I wrote, which I like choruses that are straight from the heart, and I like lyrics that are little more complicated, right? And some metaphors too. So then it goes, you're all that I want, baby, come over here and be my baby. Is it you and me disrespecting these expectations of mine? And then it goes, can't you see we need to be wild and free. So kind of just kind of a silly song, but then the song, the name is called Mismatched Impracticality. So it's because I wanted to basically write that we're different, he's driving me crazy, but I still just wanted him to be my mismatched impracticality. So I use this as an example because your whole song needs to have a story. It needs to have a little bit of like allusions kind of in the verses, and the chorus can be a little bit more straightforward. I like that kind of, I like that contrast. A lot of popular artists use it. I know Billie Eilish uses it. I'm sorry, I'm going to reference Billie Eilish a lot. I do really like her. But anyways, you might go into that more in the next songwriting episode, but I spent a lot of time on that. So now we're going to go to piano chords. So I really like playing piano. This will probably be able to be changed to any type of instrument we end up playing. But I just wanted to say that when you're writing chords, it is usually best to honestly get yourself experience with some covers first, really see how songs are made. And my personal thing is honestly all intuition. It can be a lot of fun to just kind of go off your intuition and what sounds good. And also when you're stuck and you actually are writing things and you know more theory, you can kind of think, oh, I want it to kind of sound like this song. You can pull out the chords of that song, maybe change a chord, maybe not. I mean, as long as you don't have the chord progression and the same lyrics as a song, as long as it's somewhat different, usually you won't get sued. Like, I know there was a case with Ed Sheeran and I forget who else, and they really wanted to sue each other, but it just didn't work out because even though the chord progression was exactly the same, the lyrics were different. It was completely different. It was confirmed that it was not on purpose. So do not worry about that. Just get your creative self out there. So there's a lot of progressions you can find online. I know I just talked about on guitar, I like G, C, all of that. on piano, I like a lot of C and then C to the seventh and then D, E, back to C. Like, that's the first song I wrote, had that kind of progression. Anything as simple as complicated, make it whatever. If your voice is more complicated and the lyrics are more complicated, you can get away with a more simple chords and vice versa. Eventually, you will be adding other instruments on. Do you have that in mind? So anyways, that's kind of important. I know I just wanted to talk about another genre really fast, and we'll have an episode about a bunch of genres and kind of the differences, but I want to talk about jazz. So for example, I looked up jazz and was like, oh, the seventh chord is super cool. And the seventh is basically just when you take your last finger and the pinky and the triad. So the triad, right? We talked about the C triad, which is going to be C, E, and G, right? You just take it. You move it a little bit over to the right, and then you have the seventh of a chord, right? So that they like that in jazz. And another thing in jazz, when I was looking it up, is I found they also like the fourth and the fifth of a chord. So basically, that would be intervals. And so we're going to go into music theory in another episode, but just a little quick thing about intervals. You play two white notes together on the piano right next to each other. That's the second. You move your second finger over one key, that's the third, so on and so forth. Eventually you hit eight, that is an octave. But anyways, when you're doing piano, intervals are really important. And that's true for any instrument, kind of figuring out the spacing of what you're doing and try to keep it consistent or change it every once in a while, part of songwriting. So I looked it up and I was like, it said that octaves, fourths, and fifths were really good in jazz. So I took my last hand and I moved it to the fourth a little bit, right? I was doing an A chord. So I was doing A, C, and E. I was doing A minor chord. And I moved the E chord, I moved the E finger to the A. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. But I put my own spin on it. The middle finger, I ended up moving it to the second. So I moved the C to the D, right? Right next to each other. And I love that. And that's how I started off my first kind of jazz pop song that I'm writing right now. So just figure out what's for you, have fun with it, but do keep the theory in mind as you're doing it. And, you know, I know you might feel like you have a long way to go, like you have to do the lyrics, the meter, then you have all of this, but it does get easier as time goes on. Now, speaking of instruments, we're going to go into collaboration and adding other instruments. So for me, I know a little bit of bass. And so for me, if I'm going simple on the piano, I don't just want to dun 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 bass line, because that'd be boring. Dun, for the chorus to go dun 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 dun. So maybe for that second instrument, you want to spice it up, go dun 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 dun. Kind of just like get that second instrument really rocking. If you're into writing another instrument. But if we're going to talk about other instrumentalists, you need to know the basics of the other people you're playing with. So for instance, I play with a guitarist, and I know that when they move their finger down the fretboard, the notes sound higher. When they move it up, it sounds lower. I play with the guitar a little bit, and I can kind of pick which string might need to go down or up to get a certain sound, and they'll appreciate it. So yeah, that's how to get yourself your little demo. And then you're going to need to probably put it all on different recordings and different tracks called a multi-track. So I use DAW multitrack. I'm learning about Adobe right now. Kind of just figure out the most advanced multitrack you think you can learn. And basically you just record, you hit record, you record what you need to record on one track with all your voice, hit stop, you go to the next track, you record the next thing with the piano, whatever. Usually I do the instrument first because it holds the melody. And eventually you get yourself a song. And you know, there's a lot of things you can do. You can slice up different things if you messed up or you don't want the breathing in between. You can slice it up and then mute it if you don't want to hear it. You can also add effects, which are a little bit more expensive, but you can do that. You can re-record as much as you want. That's really how you get yourself your first demo if you've never done demos before. Once you get all those demos, once you're more comfortable and you kind of know what you want to sound like, you need to find a good producer. Now, a lot of people sometimes just go to the studio to perform their tracks, and they're very good at editing, and they do it on their own. And with that, you just need to make sure your tracks have good saturation with your producer. Make sure they're known for having that, which means it's good original sound in your video before you have to amp up the sound. Looking for someone with good editing, definitely look into stuff that they've produced before and listen to it and be like, do I like how it sounds? do I like how the instruments sound with the voice and everything? Or do they make the instruments too quiet? Like, really look into it and be critical. And maybe if you're on a budget and you have to choose them anyways, make sure to communicate with them and let them know what you want when they edit things. Maybe even see if editing with them is an option. I hope that you're inspired to write some music right now. Go off and write that music. And while you're at it, think about the types of music that you like. Think about what you're looking for. And I'm going to couple the theory with the genre so that we can really get into the nitty gritty of how to get yourself sounding clean, no broken chords, right? Or, you know, the more fun you can have. So next time with DJ Melody.